Welcome to the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. This week's video hangout was with News Limited's Joe Hildebrand. It was a wide-ranging chat covering his TV work, the future of journalism, and debauchery. I think you'll enjoy it. Welcome to Mumbrella House. I'm Tim Burrows. With me today, Joe Hildebrand, News Limited journalist and television commentator and personality.
Is there anyone there?
Also joining us today on the hashtag Hildebrand Hangout is Nick Christensen. He'll be looking at social media for us. Nick, I think we might as well throw straight to you if we can. Do you have a question to get Joe going?
We do have a question here. Grace Collier wants to know from Joe, dear Joe, how does it feel to be a sex god? And does that pressure get to you sometimes? And do you have any other advice for men?
Sure. Looking answer the first question, mostly tired. Just very, very tired. Grace Collier would know how it feels to be a sex god. Well, not how it feels to be, it's how it feels to be a sex goddess. Because she's super hot. Have you seen her? She's like the hot right wing chick thing as well that just drives you crazy. Like, she's got the kind of, you know, those sort of horn rimmed glasses, and she wears very nice fitted suits and stuff. And this is kind of like the sort of person, you know, I think, you know, she just pull out a hairpin and then just go like that, and you know, oh my god. And but when she doesn't do that, it makes her even hotter because there's always a possibility that she might do that. Feels pretty good. What was the second question?
Does the pressure get to you sometimes?
Yes. Yes, it does. It's hell. People don't realise. See, most people, I've always had this theory, right, that everyone is born with either, you can only have so much good-lookingness and so much smartness. So God is very specific about this. He wants to, in order for there to be balance in the world and the universe, you have to have, like, say for example, you're 80% good-looking, right, which is pretty good-looking, right? Then you can only be 20% smart, because otherwise it wouldn't be fair on all the other humans, right?
Hugh Jackman,
exactly.
Exception right? Proof the world.
Yeah, exactly. Incredibly good looking man. I actually saw him at the premiere of Australia, and I didn't even know it was him. I just thought, oh my god, who is that incredibly handsome
smart
man?
But he's smart as well, so he kind of disproves this rule a little bit.
Turns out we were going in two different directions with that.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, and if God makes someone like super super smart, like say Bill Gates, right? And you can't make them too good-looking, because otherwise, well, you know, it just wouldn't be fair. But obviously in my case, God was off napping that day, because, you know, the little elves up in heaven or wherever they make people made someone who was 100% good-looking and 100% super smart.
And humble.
And now here I am.
Humble as well.
And 100% humble.
100% humble.
Which comes to, and 300% good at maths. And so here I am, you know, no wonder everyone wants a piece of me. You know, they're having to invent new TV channels just to find ones that I haven't been on
yet.
Well,
I'm glad you mentioned that. And I do think the structure of today might be slightly different to our usual Mumbrella Hangouts.
This is one of them. This is one of the ones I've invented. They had to invent the internet
just to fit one more thing. So, yes, I will remind you that if you can spell Hildebrand right, then Hildebrand Hangout is the hashtag. Now,
no,
Joe, I suppose one of our excuses for chatting today, nice to have you here, but this is the first time, it's good to finally find the excuse.
It would have been always nice to have you here if you'd ever invited me.
It's like
me
one
before.
Of those insincere television things that people say, isn't
awkward.
It? Because you're increasingly making your way into the insincere world of television.
Yeah.
One excuse to talk about today is Shittsville.
Yes.
Tell me about Shittsville, Joe.
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Tim. Shittsville is yet another show that I'm doing. We did Dumb, Drunk and Racist right last year for the ABC, and that offended everyone.
And you made that with Cordell Jigsaw Zapruder.
Although back then they were just Cordell Jigsaw. So then Andrew Denton came along and they merged with Cordell Jigsaw. They became this branding production thing. Then they wanted to do another show. I had this great idea to do a show called Shittsville. And, you know, we go to the worst suburb in every single capital city. And the ABC and the producers said, that's a great idea. Love it. Love the concept. Love the name. I think we should just slightly tweak the concept, though, and slightly tweak the name. And so now I've got absolutely nothing left. It's completely different. Like, they just absolutely ruined it. And they said, there's no way we can call it Shittsville. There's no way. I said, well, you know, if you're not going to call it Shittsville, then, you know, there's no point doing the show. And then they came back with this other show that was completely different to Shittsville. And I said, well, we can't call it Shittsville now anyway, because it's totally different. And then they said, oh, no, we have to call it Shittsville. And I'm like, what do you people want from me? Anyway, so they come up with a few ideas that may be a little bit better. And
some young people come along and help you along the way.
Yeah, that's right. Completely. So Dumb, Drunk and Racist, right, had four young Indians who come around Australia and see all its problems and try to solve them. This is a completely different show, completely different concept. In this one, we have four young white people who come around and go on road trip around Australia to try and solve all the country's problems.
And tell me about
very different show.
Tell me about, clearly, obviously, a very different show.
Very different show.
Tell me about some of the problems that you address.
Well, there's problems like alcohol-related violence, which I didn't actually realise was a problem. I thought it was a good thing for, you know, because I'm from the Telegraph, so like, hey, you know, you're allowed to glass someone as long as they're a Queenslander. But turns out that is illegal too. And we did problem gambling. Again, you know, I thought, yeah, wicked, you know, go to the races. And then you've got all these, you know, it's like Stalinist, you know, nanny staters at the ABC go, no, the races is bad, gambling's bad. And I'm like, oh, that's bad, dude. And then we did cost of housing. And again, you know, TV star, millionaire, cha-ching, you know, I want to buy up big in a nice sort of boutique inner suburb and sort of price out the riffraff. That's bad too, you know. And then, like, you know, transport, you know, everyone's going, oh, the trains are so crowded, oh, you know, traffic's so bad. It's like, whatever, that's why I travel by helicopter. But no, that's another problem.
Now, I do,
it's just whinging.
It strikes me that you're almost becoming a Stephen Colbert-esque parody of yourself. He's the so-called right-wing commentator who...
He's the left-winger who pretends to be right-wing.
Yes, exactly, yeah, through the use of irony.
Yeah, that's completely different. No. Stephen Colbert is the left-winger that pretends to be right-wing. I'm the left-winger that everyone just thinks is right-wing. Or am I pretending to be... No, I think, yeah. Am I right-wing pretending to be left-wing?
We'll address that one later on, I think. It's probably for the best that we do. You're quite unusual in that most print journos are hopeless on television.
Yeah, well, most print journos actually write articles for the paper. I mean, have you seen my name in there in recent years? Like,
well, you occasionally see it on a Saturday, mainly when you're promoting your TV work.
Obviously, so then I have to do it. But apart from being contractually obliged to promote myself, like, when's the last time anyone saw me bust a yarn? People come up to me and they say... You know, like, I used to be a real journalist. You know, I really, really did. You know, I used to report on politics, I used to report on transport, I used to report on workplace issues. I really used to do that stuff. And now all I do is just appear on television and people go, oh, that Joe Hildebrand, you know, he's my favourite journalist. Like, what the fuck? You know? When was the last time you even saw me bust a yarn? That's terrible. You know? Like, get a real journalist. But yeah, no, I'm just pretending to be a journalist.
You're journalistic.
It's television.
Yeah, what did you want?
Hello.
What did you want to do though? Did you set out to be on television? Did you want to be a writing journalist?
No. Why would anyone want to be a journalist? Particularly now. There are no journalists left. They are just, you know, they're just like, it's like, you know, forget about all the greenies are worried about, you know, Barry O'Farrell letting, you know, shooters into national parks. They're already in the media industry. They're picking us off like flies. And some little ducks going past, you know. It's like they just sacked like 10% of AAP, and you know, granted, no one noticed, but still, you know, it hurts. You know, there's been redundancy of Fairfax, there's been redundancy of News Limited, which I love very much. I have to hide under my desk every time the boss comes around just so he doesn't sack me. It's terrible out there. But no, I wanted to be a country music star.
But what got you into journalism?
Well, it's hard to be a country music star, you know. It's a very difficult market
to break
into.
Serious question. What brought you into
journalism?
I wanted
to be a country music star. And, you know, we had a band, we kept forming different bands, and we never got another gig, and then the rhythm guitarist was tone deaf, and so we kept breaking up the band and then reforming and doing another gig, so we never got a following, because we had to keep changing the name, because every time we did a different gig, then the rhythm guitarist kept following us to the next gig, and he'd sit in the front row and look at us and go, why'd you kick me out of there? Oh, that was really great, guys. Yeah. No, that's cool. I don't mind. I've got a lot of stuff going on. And that's a downer. You can't get the sort of vibe you need to be in a rock and roll or country outfit when you've got your ex-bloody guitarist sitting there in the front row, drinking a beer with lime in it, just making you feel miserable.
So let's join the dotted line from there to your entry into journalism.
Well, it turns out that guy was also the editor of Farrago at Melbourne Uni, and then the next year after he did it, I did it. So I started editing the student newspaper with three other people because it's a student union, so you can't do anything by yourself. It all has to be done in a collective. And then when I finished doing that, no one would give me a job doing anything at all, nothing. Like, I applied for like typesetting jobs and nothing. I don't even know what typesetting is, but I'm pretty sure it's beneath me. and they wouldn't even give me that job. And then I'd just gone on like my first holiday in forever to Tasmania, because the only place where I can feel really good looking. Because seriously, have you ever been to Tasmania?
We have been to Tasmania.
Gods to them. It's incredible. You just walk around.
Yeah. I think I have to distance myself from those comments.
It's true. Yeah, no, it's true. They love it. They don't mind. They don't understand. They speak Elvish. It's cool. They can't even understand what they're saying. We went there, seriously. This is true. We went to Tasmania and someone recognised us. So I was there with we were on our honeymoon. This is a different trip, okay? So it's flashback, flash forward, right? It's like Superman, Man of Steel, right?
We'll get onto Man of Steel in a minute.
So we were there, and this is absolutely true. So, and I see the bunch of guys in a pub, and they go, "Hey, Joe, hi," blah, blah, blah. And I say, "Hey, how you going?" Blah, blah, blah. And it's Oz, you know. And then they look at my wife, right? And it's, you know, just, she's all right. And my wife goes, "Oh, my God, is that your girlfriend? Is your girlfriend a model?" And I'm like, "No, we're just from the mainland. This is what normal people look like."
I do have to point out you are now recycling columns. You've told this story in your column.
I have, yeah. It works better live.
So the first time you're in Tasmania.
First time I was in Tasmania. So I just got off the plane and then got a call from AAP, which is where I started, Australian Associated Press. That was back when they were hiring people instead of firing people. And they hired me to do a cadetship, and I was very, very lucky. They'd already hired three people, and I think they usually only had three spots, I think. It was quite unusual for them to have four, but they hired three people. I had flown all the way back from Tasmania on borrowed money, because I was still a penniless student. So I flew all the way back from Hobart to Melbourne to go to this job interview, which I was never going to get. I walked in there. I'm actually pre-recycling stuff from my upcoming memoirs, believe it or not. And I went there looking like, you know, this weird Frankensteinian kind of monster with, like, because I had no suit or anything, and I was wearing, like, those pants that, you know, the ankle bangers?
No.
You know what they call them anyway? No. They're bad. It's not meant to be a thing, right? It's just what happens when your pants don't cover your ankle. Anyway, so I go there, and it was a bit of a mercy fuck. I think they thought, oh, he's come all this way, you know. He looks like an unemployed hobo. Like, he looks like a rodeo clown who can't find the rodeo. We're going to have to throw him a bone here, otherwise there might be some kind of, you know, it's like, oh, he's come to the office now, you know, are we now legally liable for him, you know? He's probably going to fall out of the window and get hit by a bus. So they gave me a job, and then I come up here, and then I had no idea what I was doing, and then just kind of faked it from there.
I think it's time for another question from Nick.
Another question, if we can, please. Slow down.
We've got a number of questions here. Let me start with this one. Hayden wants to know, from your perspective, what will the new Channel 10 morning show be like?
I have no idea. I've never even met Ida Buttrose before. I'm very scared of her. I think she's going to yell at me. I think they'll just be... It won't even be yelling because it's Ida. It will just be sort of looks. She'll just go like this. Can people see that out there?
Yes,
this is what Ida Buttrose is going to do to me. And then once she's done that for a couple of hours, pretty much time to go home.
Yeah, so...
Except for the audience, who will already be at home.
For those who aren't aware, you're one of the... I'm not sure if they said the number, but everyone seems to say five panellists.
Yeah, I know. I've seen all sorts of different numbers. Of course, you know, when they tell you... See, this is television, right? When they tell you, they don't even tell you there's going to be anyone else. I say, oh, Joe, it's just you. It's all about you. We're going to build a show around you. So, Joe, we really want you to host our new morning show, blah, 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 blah. I say, oh, yeah, that's great. Next day, I open the paper. It's Ida fucking Buttrose. You know? How am I meant to compete with that? Are we allowed to swear on the show?
Yeah, we are happily, yes. We're not... We, the moment we fall through the gaps, we're not regulated by
Nick,
anyone.
Nick, are we really allowed to swear on the show?
No, Nick's... Nick's not talking to us just at the moment, I think. But
Nick's sleeping right now.
No, Nick's coming back to us. Yes.
But, you know, I mean, what sort of a surprise is that to spring on someone?
And
but we don't know who the others are. So since they've announced me, they can't find anyone else.
So how much are they paying you?
Heaps.
How much are they? What do you... Do you earn more doing television than you do as a print journalist?
No, God, no. No. That's because I'm incredibly overpaid as a print journalist, because it's a notoriously overpaid industry. So, you know, I'd be pulling home probably 1.1 from the telly. That's just Monday to Wednesday. Mm. And then, you know, obviously I'll put into overtime if I have to do dinner.
But how does it work? They have you on a contract for the year? So or they pay you by the show?
Ten will have me. I'll be a card-carrying mercenary for Channel 10.
Have you had this before? Is this the first time you've...
So first at night, I used to just sort of have...
You used to show up on 7 quite a lot.
Yeah, so I had a sort of a pretty nice, like, you know, I like to think we were friends. Mm. Had a very cozy relationship with 7, and that was sort of my primary TV thing, and I didn't do 9 because I didn't like that, but I was still allowed to do a bit of 10 in the evenings anyway, because I did, with 7 it was all the morning show and sunrise and stuff like that. And then, of course, that was when Adam Boland was the Wunderkind, you know, poster boy there.
He's now moved over to 10.
And he, of course, moved over to 10 and started up this new whole Uber mornings lineup, blah, 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 blah.
And what's the show called? The new show?
I have no idea. It's like 10 mornings or something. There's a Twitter handle with 10 mornings on it, so it might be that. But they might come up with some new whiz bang thing. Knowing that I like, it'll be mornings with Ita.
And friends.
Yeah.
Nick, another question, please.
Yes, we've got a question here from Audrey, who asks, now that you'll be on Channel 10, will you also be on other programs like MasterChef?
Yes.
I don't think that's true, Joe. I have to call you out on that.
No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. I would be, except I can't cook.
No.
I can't even make jokes about MasterChef anymore. Oh, this is terrible. This is half my material gone. MasterChef is a great show, and I say bring on another season. Still a lot left to run in that little automobile.
Have there been conversations about other shows, for instance, like The Project, going on the panel on The Project, that sort of thing? Or is it if you do mornings, you don't appear in the evening?
No, I think that if I know anything about television, I think they'll cross-promote the shit out of it, which brings me here. No, they just don't like me going on any other commercial network. So I won't be doing any other commercial network thing. So if you want to see my magic, you'll have to go to the thing that I'm on that channel 10.
And in the long term, do you think you can keep the News Limited's job going as well?
I think so, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I will definitely keep some kind of job at the Telegraph, because not a lot of people know this, but when you start working for News Limited, they microchip you, and it's a little thing. It's a largely painless process. They just sort of, you know, it's just like a big needle, and they just inject it in. You don't even know it's there. But if you go further than 2 or 3 kilometres from Holt Street, it actually starts beeping and sends off a signal to the nearest police station, and they just sort of round you up and bring you back in. And then if you go to Fairfax, it just explodes.
So you could never see yourself as a Fairfax journalist?
I wouldn't have the chance to, because my head would be in 1,000 different pieces on the wall. Have you seen Fortress with Christopher Lambert?
No, I haven't. Oh. Christopher Lambert, great actor, Highlander.
Yeah, very good, exactly. Movie. Yeah, yes. So he's in a movie called Fortress, right? It's the same thing. They put a little thing on you, they inject you with this little microchip, and if you try to leave the prison, your head just explodes. I've seen it happen. It's not pretty.
News Limited. Yeah. In some ways,
News Corp Australia now.
News Corp Australia. Thank you. Yes, as of today.
Yes.
In many ways, you're sort of... Do you see yourself as the kind of cuddly face of News Limited?
Yeah. And if anyone says otherwise, I'm going to smash them.
Nick, another question, please.
Oh. I love Chris Keddy. Hi, Chris. Look, it's hard to say. The short answer is bipolar. I've got terrible mood swings. So in the morning, I'm not a very good morning person. So in the mornings, I'm very sort of, you know, dark and depressed. You know, an ex-girlfriend of mine said they were just called hangovers, but I think it's bipolar. And so you need a little bit of, you know, you need a little bit of love. You need bright, shiny, happy sort of things. You know, and a little bit of Ita. You know, and then in the evenings and the afternoons when I go to work for News Limited, you know, I'm nice and happy and cheerful, so I just want to kill people. You know, it's like a joyous kind of psychopathy. But then the ABC, which is the proper love media, which I think that Chris is alluding to. It's a bit awkward for me to talk about, but I was raised by hippies, and so there's certain kind of buzzwords that people can throw at me, and it automatically seems to trigger some kind of inbuilt psychological programming that I don't have any control over. So whenever someone says, for example, you know, Terry Lane, I start to sort of go into a strange phase. Or if someone says, you know, Late Night Live with Philip Adams, suddenly I go, oh. And it's like it's just calling to me. And I just find myself sort of almost sleepwalking to, you know, Philip Adams' giant mansion in the country or wherever it is he does that show.
Jumping back a step, you mentioned, again, News Limited.
Oh, yes, yes.
Can you still do this as a full-time job, the News Limited thing? I mean, how are you actually finding enough hours in the day, or do you just have very understanding employers?
News Limited, no, they're not understanding. They're monsters. But the News Limited is very, very good at sort of managing expectations. It's kind of like, I mean, it's like when you know when you hit your head against a brick wall, and it feels good when you stop. You know, so News Limited up until this point have been making me do about, I think, 3 full-time jobs at the moment. I kid you not, I'm doing 3 full-time jobs.
Well, you,
like
edit
today.
You edit the Saturday section of the Telegraph.
So I edit the Saturday, you know, news feature section, blah, 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 which I'm going to continue to do. I do the weekly column, which I have to find time to do sometime between 11 p.m. and midnight on Thursday. I edit the opinion pages every day at the same time. And I'm also, as of the last 2 weeks and this week, the acting letters editor, just to really just rub it in. You
Tell
know?
Me about readers' letters.
Well, we've only got, from what I've been able to discover, we've only got about 6 people who write in, and they just all write in on a cycle. But they've got it almost perfectly figured out, so it sort of exactly fits. So there you just go, all right, there you go. Oh, yep, hold an early election, we all hate the Labor Party. Bonk, there you go, chunk, there's your day's work done. And someone was getting paid like 40 hours a week for this before I came along. Whereas I can do it easily as part of my, you know, ongoing, you know, 25-hour working day. Nick. It's a nightmare.
Nick, back to you for another question, please.
Let's take a lighter question here. Someone wants to know, Joe, which is your favourite Ninja Turtle?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Leonardo. Favourite colour is blue, and also he's got the 2 big swords. So he's got 2 of the things, which is more than Michelangelo, who has the... he just has the staff, doesn't he? And then Raphael's got the little short swords, the red one, but they're like short swords. Why would you have like little dagger things? Like, why would you have little daggers when you can have giant big swords? And then Donatello, well, you know, is the purple one, you know, a bit gay.
I can't even tell whether you're being ironic or not.
If I was being ironic, why would I know the exact colour and the exact weapon of every single Ninja Turtle?
Just before we came on, we were talking about Man of Steel, and I thought we were having an ironic conversation in which Joe was pretending to like it while I hated it, but... It turned out you genuinely did like Man of Steel.
Like does not go strong enough to describe how I feel about Man of Steel.
I left the cinema last night angry. I was actually angry at myself for having spent
angry
2
in a
hours
world where evil could prevail and an authoritarian alien called Zod could destroy so many lives. I was angry at that too.
I was disappointed at Zod's acting, it has to be said.
What?
You know, that the kind of that frown thing he does.
What, you didn't think he was evil enough?
I thought the whole thing was a big disappointment.
Right. So you think that, you know, a supervillain, a guy who's the most evil creature in the entire universe, should somehow be, like, a really good actor. What
yes.
did you want?
Yes,
like,
I do. Also, another problem I had with this film, basically New York or city that's meant to look like New York, pretty
flattened.
Much utterly flattened. Mm. That's not actually a happy ending if you think through the consequences of that.
Well, I wasn't as curious how the Daily Planet building actually survived. Oh, I should have given it. Anyway...
Yeah, spoiler. Don't watch this if you haven't seen Superman yet. Don't see Superman.
Everyone has already gone and seen it in the first weekend, and anyone who has isn't going back.
Yeah.
So,
but don't see it.
You can't have a good disaster film or a good action film now unless you level an entire metropolis and a big one.
Sorry, we digress. Nick, did you have another question?
A more serious question. Joe, you talk about all the cuts in newspapers. Chris is asking... would you advise, you know, what advice would you give to someone who wants to get into journalism?
Oh, don't. Find another job. It's terrible. You never get that. No, there'll always be a place for good journalism. Just be... People keep asking, how do you get into journalism as though there's some kind of, you know, secret portal or there's some kind of, you know, trap door or whatever. Like, there's not at all. Be, you know... Be smart. Know what you're writing about. Know what you're talking about. Learn how to write. Learn how to write a good story. Learn how to write a news story. Learn how to put the important stuff up the top and the less important stuff down the bottom. Don't be afraid to get out there and do things. You know, don't sit around, you know, your lecture theatre having debates about, you know, journalistic ethics over, you know, wine and cheese. Like, get out there in the field. Do what you have to do to get the story. Roll your sleeves up. You will have to work for free, you know, possibly for a long time. You'll be horrendously exploited. You'll be yelled at. Don't expect everyone to say how great your piece is every time you file it, because chances are it won't be, and even if it is, they probably won't say it. Just, you know, if you really want it, there are a tiny amount of journalism jobs going, and they're ever dwindling. There's plenty of citizen journalism. Everyone who's got a, you know, a laptop and a modem thinks that they're a journalist, and, you know, good luck to them, that's great. But if you want to actually be paid for it, and you want to be part of an organisation which is already just getting absolutely smashed by the internet and smashed by competitors who effectively can afford to work for nothing, or work for next to nothing, or produce a product for next to nothing. If you want to work for a place where we actually do serious stuff and break seriously big yarns and really, you know, basically run the world, you're going to have to be better. You're not just going to have to be good, you're going to have to be better than the current lot were before you. And you'll have to keep getting better and better and better, because the jobs are going to be fewer and fewer and fewer. So we're basically looking at a whole new species of human.
You talked about working for free. One of the most commented articles on Umbrella, 229 comments, I went and looked up today, was it was an email exchange between you and Matt Smith, a would-be journalist who pitched a piece to
would-be
you.
Would-be is certainly the operative descriptor.
And it became very much a debate where it was basically he was pitching something to you. You were saying, well, I'll take it, but I can't pay it.
Yeah.
But he didn't show sufficient respect. Is that the way
of
putting it?
No, it wasn't. I said I'd publish it, but unfortunately, I apologised. I said, sorry, I can't afford to pay for it. We can't afford to pay anything. To be honest, the piece wasn't good enough to merit paying for it, but I'd always made a point of giving young journos a run if I had space in the paper. There were countless other things I could have run that day. But I thought, you know, I'd give it a bell. It was a kind of interesting concept that he'd written about that was poorly executed. I later found out that he'd already published it anyway on his own blog, but that's neither here nor there. But I said, yeah, look, sorry, I can't afford to give you anything for it, but, you know, I can give it a run. And then after I'd said that, he sort of got a bit sort of snarky and went, he goes, oh, well, you know, that's very disappointing because blah, 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 blah. He says, well, at least just put my, you know, Twitter handle on it. And I thought, you little fucking self-important brat, go fuck yourself. I don't know who you think, you know, like, I don't know who the nice lady in payroll is who cuts my paychecks. But it's sure as hell not him, and he's certainly not my boss. And so if he tries to tell me what to do, he can quite frankly blow me and the horse he rode in on. Hi, Matt. Hope you're watching. I mean that, by the way.
It became quite a divisive debate, really, as sometimes debates do become. But people very much either put themselves on Team Matt or Team Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I became aware of a bit of that and you know, and people sort of getting on the high horse and saying, you know, oh, no, it's absolutely, you know, writers must be paid, blah, 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 and this is, you know, this is the whole point of principle, blah, blah. I mean, I'm a writer myself. There's no one who wants writers to, or good writers, and I stress the word good, Matt, to be paid, you know, a decent amount.
Actually, I have seen some of Matt's writing since.
Has it improved?
It's good. I'm not saying it was bad before. I'm not
adversity,
buying into the premise of your statement.
Adversity breeds character. he's learned something. You know, now he has something to write about, having suffered, you know, the devastating lows of about to be being printed in, you know, the largest newspaper in the city. How terrible that would have been for him. But the debate is completely academic. Like, if I told you the budget I have, for which I've already and perpetually blown by a factor of probably 200 or 300%, like I can't even afford to commission a full article a week for the entire op-ed pages or the feature section.
What was the last one you commissioned?
Just trying to remember. I think the last time we had to say no to, I can't give away too much of the sense. We used to have Bill Woods. This is no secret here. So we used to have Bill Woods, who was very good and very popular columnist, who was a huge hit with readers. We had him fortnightly. We could only afford to do him fortnightly. And we had Kelly Connolly doing the other week. She's also very popular, very good. We had to slash what we paid them, because we simply couldn't afford it, and I could was only able to persuade the bean counters above me to keep them under that thing. So they said, we can't afford it, we've got to cut them loose. I said, please, 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 what if we just give them this at least? And then we landed a bit of a coup with Peter Costello, and obviously we're paying him. He left the Herald, and we're managing to share the cost of that with the Herald Sun. That's the only way we can afford that. And as a result of that, we've had to cut Bill Woods and use him as a pinch hitter. So we couldn't even afford to keep our own columnists.
Nick, another question, please.
We've got a question here in the comment thread just asking, Joe, your opinion on politics. Who will win the election? Does Kevin Rudd have any chance?
I would have said, it's a very good question, I would have said no. And I probably still think that is the most likely answer. But I've been pretty surprised and pretty impressed by the level of momentum and the bounce he has gained. The bounce will... let's remember... Okay, so I think it was the Galaxy poll yesterday, we saw a 6-point bounce in the primary, which dragged it up to 35%. Everyone's going, oh my God. Let's not forget, 35% in any normal political scenario would still be terminal. Like in the old days, and by the old days, I mean, 2007, you had to have at least sort of 40% primary, or Labor had to have at least 40% primary to be remotely competitive. Because what you're talking about, having a 40% primary and then basically getting 90% of the Greens votes, which is no longer assured. So there's that issue there. having said that, they've just absolutely killed Abbott on the preferred prime minister thing and got Kevin back to where, or Labor's leader back to where they should be. The numbers are pretty much reversed. I think Abbott was outdoing Gillard, I think it was 35 to 49 Abbott's way over Gillard. If you are the Prime Minister and you are not the preferred Prime Minister, and someone who has never been Prime Minister is a preferred Prime Minister over you, and that's why the preferred Prime Minister number is such a useful indicator, it is absolutely terminal. The nation is basically saying to its leader, we hate you so much, we want anyone but you. Even someone who's never done it before, we don't even know what they're like, but we'd still rather have them. So that's why that number is so important. Rudd has now flipped that around. So he is now at about, I think he's about 45, maybe even 49 or something, somewhere in the high 40s over Abbott, who's now back down to the sort of mid-30s or maybe even low 30s, somewhere between 30, 35. And so that is good. And that means that they've got a weapon. That means that every time the two people are compared, that Rudd is going to smash Abbott by a factor of about 50%.
Now, today's front page, Telegraph, I forget, Captain Chaos, Commander Chaos.
Captain Chaos, I
Captain
think it was.
Captain Chaos. Crikey reported at lunchtime today that the polling question to the public, which got the answer that yes, it's chaos, was perhaps a bit of a slightly biased question. Is that a fair observation?
No, I wouldn't have thought so at all. I did have a look at the question, which was on the inside spread, and I think it was something like, do you think that that Kevin Rudd's management approach or style of prime ministership has changed, or do you think it's changed from
I think
original?
It wasn't. Nick, I'll ask you to look it up on Crikey while we chat so you can read it us. But I think it was slightly more along the lines of, last time round Kevin Rudd was incredibly chaotic. Do you think he's changed? I think that was the perhaps not an incredibly, not in, a massive...
In that case,
neutral.
It's even more fair because people were saying yes, that he is actually chaotic. I think anyone who doesn't know that Kevin Rudd's previous administration was incredibly chaotic and was absolutely beset by bottlenecks, by vicious personality disputes between the Gang of Four and the rest of the cabinet, and vicious personality disputes even within the Gang of Four. I mean, these aren't things you even have to be a political insider to know. All you have to do is pick up a copy of the Sydney Morning
the
Herald
Telegraph.
Or the Daily Telegraph or the Australian, and you would know that. So I think for anyone at Crikey or anywhere else to present this as though that's not saying an obviously stated fact is just willful naivety. I don't know why.
See, it looked to me like it was a question being asked with the intention of a headline, though.
Yeah, well, it's a question on everyone's lips. It's the question on everyone in the Labor Party's lips. Like, can Kevin Rudd change? Has he changed? And if he hasn't, then, you know, Labor's screwed. You know, it's even more screwed. Like, they're only, you ask about, you know, the question was about whether Labor can win the election. I think there is an outside chance, yes, if Kevin Rudd can change. Kevin Rudd himself admits that he needs to change. So the idea that there's some inherent bias, we're saying what everyone in the country is thinking. And if the person from Crikey thinks that there's some evidence of News Limited bias, I'd invite him to look at the Sunday Telegraph front page, the Saturday Telegraph front page, the Friday Telegraph front page, the Thursday Telegraph front page, where we basically herald him like he was the fucking messiah. So, you know, one out of five ain't bad, Pinko.
Nick, have you managed to dig out that question?
If you want the question that was in the poll, it's Kevin Rudd's Prime Minister style has been described as chaotic and dysfunctional. Do you think he's changed?
But, there you go, thanks for that.
That's a biased question.
Okay, we're nearly out of time. Let's go rapid fire. Just a couple more questions if you have them, Nick.
Yes, just one more to finish off with. Joe, if you had if you could have a slave for a day, who would it be and what would you have them do? Something more interesting.
Grace Collier. In fact, we've already got a very similar relationship going on. No, who would I slave for a day? It's kind of weird because the thing is, I'm married now, right? And so I know myself. Like, if I had a slave for a day, I'd make them do just unspeakable things. Just, I'm talking really sordid, nasty things. Not technically illegal, at least not in, you know, the ACT and some of the more progressive states. But, you know, bad stuff. Like, stuff that you would probably think was illegal if you saw it out of context. You know, like, just...
If you thought of it in the first place.
If you thought of it in the first place. The sort of thing that if your mum walked in on you, she'd go, oh, my God, you know, what have you done to my boy? You know, and then you know, then she'd probably realise that it was her boy doing it to someone else. And just horrible. There might be, you know, animals involved. Only mammals. Only mammals. So I don't want to... I'm not a sicko, right? But I don't know if I could afford to give myself that power.
I think before we leave, just one final reason to watch Shitsville.
Because it's unreal. It's got me in it, for God's sake. You know, what part of 100% smart and 100% sexy don't you understand?
Joe, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
That was the Mumbrella Cast. See you next time.